Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera. I'm with Francisco Romero, the Spanish voice of the Houston Astros and the Spanish voice of the University of Arizona Athletics. What do they call you in Spanish for Arizona stuff?
What do you mean?
What's your name in Arizona sports? What's the Gatos or whatever? Tell me.
Gatos Salvajes.
That's what they call you? Yeah.
Wow, cats, huh?
Okay.
Gatos Salvajes.
Okay. How fun is that?
Oh, it's a lot of fun, especially since I went to, as a student to U of A. It's been a fun ride this last 20 years broadcasting Arizona sports. I mean, it's been amazing. Those early 2000 teams, basketball, I mean, you covered them. So,
yeah.
I mean, remember we see each other at the NCAA tournaments and in Utah and everywhere else, but it's been a lot of fun. I mean, Arizona has had great teams. I mean, no doubt about it. You know this better than I, one of the greatest, programs in the country.
Right, right. So you started like in 2000 covering the team, end of Dick Tomey, middle of Lute, kind of end of Lute, middle of Lute, and those are the major sports, and then some of Stoops.
Yeah, Stoops, all the seasons.
Stoops, and then and Rich Rod.
And Makovic before.
Oh, Makovic. I think people try to forget about Makovic. It's but, a quick, who was that guy? Oh, yeah, that guy. Never mind.
No, but it's been great. Jim Leibinger opened the door to us.
Mm-hmm.
We had a meeting with him.
He was very good to you.
Very, very good. Mr. Leibinger, we went to a meeting. We asked him how we could broadcast one game. And then he said he directed us to the right people. And we ended up, I think it was the first game against New Mexico and back in 99 in December.
Mm-hmm.
I think we lost that game. but ever since then, and the U of A has gone through different, broadcast companies, but they've kept us. We've been with them for a long time and now we're thankful that IMG is still keeping us. And it's been a great ride.
It's funny because you talk about we and us, or you said we just now. So you feel connected to the team?
I do. I feel connected to the team because we don't do the away games, so that kind of keeps us apart a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But we do feel connected to the team. And my practice partner and I, and so we feel part of the university. They treated us very, very, very well, and we've been part of other adventures, if we could say, like we took the baseball team once to Nogales, Arizona, and they played against New Mexico there. So we were part of that. And so, we've been part of and we feel part of the university.
Sure, sure. So let's talk football specifically for now. Just back in the day, well, any favorite players that you remember that you covered or you talked about?
Gronkowski, but we never saw him develop. That was one.
Did
of
you
the
ever
things.
Talk to him? You never talked to him on the radio, though.
No, never on the radio. No, never because we don't have time to go.
Right.
So never on the radio. The other one was Foles, Nick Foles.
Mm-hmm.
Not because they've done great things in the NFL.
Sure.
But
they
were
good here.
But yeah, they were good here. You could see that. The other one, and while you're talking about football, so those are two of the guys that really stood out in my mind. But again, Gronkowski, I wish he would have stayed one more year so we could have seen him.
So does Mike Stoops.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
Right, right. So tell me about the coaches. Dick Tomey, you covered him at the end?
I think we covered him at the end, the last season he was here.
Yeah.
So I I saw him as a student. With his option and with Ronnie Veal and all those.
Sure, back in the day, that's when I covered the team.
Yeah.
And wow, you must have been two. How old were you then? 1988, 87?
I was 18 years old.
18 years old, so yeah, so impressionable.
I follow you too. I read all your articles.
Oh, yeah, thank you very much. I hope you learned something because I didn't.
No, I did. No, so I followed Dick Tomey as a student, as a fan, and then I got to broadcast his last season at the U of A.
Right.
Because, after coming from a great season.
Any favorite stories with him? You didn't go to Cochise then to do...
No, we didn't go to Cochise. No, we didn't go to Cochise. We did travel with the team for a few years. There's a story about we're at the hotel, and I got to see who Wilbur was.
Oh, so, that's big news.
No, check this out. And we were going down the stairs. I think it was at Cal. And I'm like, I saw that he had his bag. So
yeah.
I'm like, Wilbur. He wouldn't turn around. And then he turned around and he shut me up. He goes, shh.
Oh, yeah.
But with players, it's just the normal.
Sure.
Sportscaster player interview.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But still a lot of fun.
Oh, no, a lot of fun. Yeah, a lot of fun, going, when you travel, you have a lot of fun, going to the away games.
Yeah, you probably owe me a dinner or two from traveling that we didn't meet up on the road.
It's true. You're absolutely right.
Right, right.
But a lot of fun calling the football games. I had never caught football before, and then it was a learning experience, and I actually got to the NCAA rule book, the whole, like a Bible, and translated, because they do that in Mexico City.
Oh.
And so there's a committee who does it. They translate the whole thing. They send it to me, and they send me a few football games broadcasted in Spanish so I could see the word. A lot of the wording is kind of like the same, mm-hmm. like baseball. But so it's pretty fun broadcasting football.
Sure, sure. So for Tomey to Makovic to Stoops, anything from Stoops that struck you when you were there while he was here?
No, nothing that struck me. Stoops.
That's why he's no longer here.
But you know what? When he was hired, like everybody else in town, everybody was very high
on it,
yeah,
right?
Because
sure.
of where he came from and the family name.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but you know what? With Makovic, we took a tour to Nogales.
Who's we?
It was the press. I don't know if you went that tour.
No, I wasn't covering football then.
You weren't covering football? Okay.
No,
so the press is media. We took a tour, and I got to be in the first leg because we were stopping in Nogales. So another media members got to be in the second leg or third leg. I think they went to Nogales, Sierra Vista.
Oh, okay.
And then they took us to, I think he wanted coffee. So I don't know if Starbucks was in the picture. So we went to get coffee for Makovic before we continued
to
Nogales. So that was a pretty cool ride. I got to talk to him, and, you know, one-on-one on the ride. That was pretty cool.
Right, right. And then so Stoops came, and now Rich Rod.
Yeah,
any stories with Rich Rod?
When I met Rich Rod, the first thing I told him was that he had accepted the job because he knew we had Spanish broadcast. And he said, yeah, you're right.
But he couldn't speak Spanish.
No, he couldn't.
He couldn't speak Spanish. That was one of my first questions to him, too, when I worked for Fox Sports, whether he could, because the fan base here would have loved him, but would have loved him more.
Oh, yes. But he explained he's from Spain, and he grew up in
Ohio. Kind of like me.
Kind of like
right.
Third, fourth generation.
Yeah. Any stories with him, too? Because he was a good guy. I liked him a lot. But then he kind of started fading away with, you know, media. It was decisions, things like that.
No, the times that I saw him was, you know, and also during the basketball games, I would see him a lot because he would sit right there. But those were just the only stories. When I got to meet him the first time he came up and, you know, talked to him a little bit. The other stories is, with our long snapper, Jose Romero.
Yes, I think that was a great story.
Yeah, but with him and Rich Rod and Jose's dad who played football.
Right.
In Mexico. So, you know, got to be around him a little bit more.
Actually, that story you just told with the Romero kid, very good story. The long snapper. He was a bullfighter. His dad was a bullfighter, wasn't he?
His dad was a boxer. His dad was a football player at UNAM in Mexico City. I think his dad was a bullfighter, too, so he had a little bit of everything.
Mm-hmm. And he was a pretty good player until he got hurt. I think he got hurt.
He got hurt, and then he came back to his senior year.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of good stories that we haven't been able to tell, but maybe at some day, some point, that we can do that. I think anything else in the recent Sumlin's? This is your new taste to Sumlin.
Yeah, this is my new taste. Last year when he was introduced, we were still doing basketball,
mm-hmm.
so he was introduced there, and I got to meet him a little bit, but I haven't interviewed him in depth, which I like to do.
No one really has.
No one really has.
Okay. He has his Monday meetings.
But, I mean, living in Houston, everybody knows him there.
Right. There, so. What is the perception?
You know what? People like him. People really like him. They say that he didn't have the success that he needed to, that they wanted him to, but people really, really like him in Houston. He was like a hero for a while.
Oh, yeah, for a while. I mean, that stuff lasts, you know, like a cup of coffee. You're good one day and another, you're not.
Yeah.
No. And
they tell me, hey, he's good. Arizona got him. So people like
him. Right. Well, we'll see what happens here. You know, he struggled early, and now he's come on strong the last couple of weeks, and it seems like he's got things turned around. We'll see what happens, because you're almost judged day to day on success these days. You're good one day and you're bad the other, or you're as good as your last haircut, as I like to say. That's why I don't get my haircut very often.
But some people say, like in baseball, once you are hired either as a head coach or a manager, your days are counted.
You're destined to be fired at some point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, you just do the best you can. But going back to Sumlin, people really like him in Houston.
Okay. Yeah. I was. That's a good point that you brought in, because he was there for a while, and they paid him a lot to get away, to go away. Which, you know, I would take that money too. Please, Steve, get out of here. Here's a wad of cash. So is it fun doing what you do, even though you're kind of away from your family and stuff like that?
It is fun because they get to be with
part
me.
Of it. Yeah, because they're with you. I see them with you.
What happens is that when I have to go to Houston, it's my daughter's last month and a half in school. So I leave at the end of March, and then they catch up to me in late May, early June. Then they're there the whole summer. And then they come back at the end of July once she's ready to start school.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am away for a couple months at the beginning of the season, a couple months at the end. But they have a lot of fun. My daughter was a year and a half old when we got to Houston. So she's seen all the players. I mean,
they probably know her, love her.
Yeah, they know her. And there's a picture of her and Lance Berkman when he is holding her in her arms.
As a baby.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And now Altuve talks to her. And you know, we walk out through the tunnel at the same time. So there's like unwritten rules. You don't ask for autographs or pictures.
Oh, right.
So they treat us like, you know, like co-workers or family.
Sure.
So they get to talk about things outside baseball.
Which they probably love. Yeah.
When when Altuve made his first All-Star game, I was there at the press conference. He turns to me and he says, "Hey, where's your wife? Where's your wife?" Because he wanted to tell somebody.
Oh, you know? Yeah.
So my wife was there and they hugged each other and congratulated each other. So, you know, stuff like that. So my daughter and my family have grown up in baseball. With that.
With Houston, and with the Houston Astros.
And with the Astros, uh-huh.
Right. And it's good to have good people. When you're covering a team and they have good people, it makes your job completely different if you had bad people. But it makes it enjoyable to go to the park.
And the other thing is, when we were going on our way to the World Series parade last year, my daughter gets on the bus and she says, "Oh my God, I can't believe this." And I go, "What's going on?" And she goes, "Oh, there's Nolan Ryan, Jeff Bagwell, and Craig Biggio in the same bus with me." You know, three Hall of Famers.
Right.
And now it's pretty neat because now she understands what baseball life is.
The magnitude
about.
Of it. Uh-huh. Is, right.
And now it's amazing that I can talk to my daughter about draft picks, about college, about, you know, baseball in general.
Sure, and she gets it. Yes,
she gets it.
Okay, we're going to come back right after this break, talk more about baseball and basketball now.
I'm Rodney Glassman, and I'm running for Corporation Commission to restore integrity and champion Arizona's water future. This race is going to be critically important for agriculture and rural Arizona. My opponents have some radical ideas, but the one that scares me most is when I hear Kiana Sears say she wants growers to pay higher prices for water and attacks Arizona farmers who export crops. A vote for Rodney Glassman is a vote for agriculture and the candidate with real-world experience and a PhD in arid land resource sciences. I grew up in a farming family and served as president of the Pima County Farm Bureau and on the Arizona State Farm Bureau Board of Directors. It worries me to hear my liberal Democrat opponents attack agriculture. I'm Rodney Glassman, and I support ag, farming, and ranching, which create tens of thousands of jobs and contribute $23 billion a year to our economy. Please vote Rodney Glassman for Corporation Commission, and let's protect Arizona's water future and our economy. Paid for by Glassman for Corporation Commission, authorized by me, Rodney Glassman.
El Tour de Tucson is a premier cycling event in the United States. Many Tucsonans ride in it, and some ride their bikes to the event to watch. Why not get your bike ready for El Tour or for the ride to the race with parts, service, and accessories from Ajo Bikes, Arizona's family bike shop for recumbent, kids' bikes, mountain, street, and electric. Ajo Bikes, 1301 East Ajo, 294-1434, ajobikes.com.
Meeting. If your health care has become a burden and you're worried about being stuck for another year, you have options. Solidarity Health Share could be the solution to your problem. Open enrollment is here, and this could be your chance to unburden yourself from insurance. Take this opportunity and join Solidarity Health Share. Be in control, honor your faith, exercise your morals and values in health care. Solidarity Health Share offers an entirely open network, which means you choose your doctors and you choose your hospitals. Solidarity Health Share members are exempt from the Affordable Care Act and the mandates that conflict with your Catholic belief. To find out how you can easily make the change, call Solidarity Health Share today at 844-313-4999 or visit their website at solidarityhealthshare.org. That's solidarityhealthshare.org. Solidarity Health Share, health care for the common good.
Local news and talk, AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on the arts.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I'm here with Francisco Romero. My show, Eye on the Ball, day three. I'm having a good time. Hoping I'm making sense. Hoping my guests are being patient with me. Thanks, Francisco, for coming all the way down and talking to me about a lot of different things. Let's transition to baseball, or no, to basketball, because you came on the scene midway through Lute's time. And how was that? You know, because he's personable. I'm sure he talked to you a lot.
Yeah, we talked to Lute, but Lute is different now than he was before.
Oh, very, very much so. Yes.
I remember talking to him, and I mean, just his personality, just you felt like kissing the ring.
Intimidating, yeah.
Intimidating,
yeah.
At times, especially, yeah. Us as
young kids.
As a Spanish, outlet. I don't know how he would have taken it, but he took it really well. And actually, the U of A, the media department was very gracious to us that they would get us a player mm-hmm. after the game. And so Lute was okay with it.
It was funny because they would go to you right away. The players
right
would
away, uh-huh.
go to you, and then you get on the air and talk maybe a minute or two.
Yeah, about a couple minutes, 2-3 minutes, and then
right.
that was it. That
right.
was pretty cool.
How fun was that? Because the guys probably didn't understand Spanish.
No, they didn't. I always asked at the end, what can you say in Spanish? You know who did? Isaiah Fox.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Really?
He spoke Spanish, a little bit, because I think his girlfriend was at that time from Argentina.
Oh, really? That's a good way to learn Spanish.
So that's why he spoke a little bit of Spanish, right. But he didn't do it on the air though. But I remember talking to Derek Williams.
He was there a lot. He was there a lot with you guys.
Kyle Fogg. We talked to, You know who broke a little bit off the subject? One time, Richard Jefferson jumped for the ball, mm-hmm. and he broke my laptop.
Oh, because he was diving through the
he dove and he broke my laptop.
You've always been in that spot then.
Well, I was in the corner, way back at the corner mm-hmm. when we started. And now we're right in the middle. But then he came as a pro. I think it was during the All-Star break.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
So he was next to me. So I said him, I got up to interview him. And then I asked him, hey, you owe me a laptop. I said, and he said he was going to pay it, but he hasn't paid
yeah,
it
yet.
Yeah,
he hasn't paid it yet. Yeah, right.
But we got to talk to a lot of players. Lute was a little bit intimidating at first, but uh-huh. then afterwards he was his normal self.
Right.
But a lot of fun.
Who are some of your favorite players to watch and maybe to talk to?
To watch and, to talk to, Lute Walton was a lot of fun.
Well, he was one of the best. He's one of my favorite. Because he was a simple guy. You'd think that he'd be a jerk and big time, pompous guy. Not at all. Great guy, simple guy, funny guy. I love talking to Lute.
Williams was good to talk to also.
Brian?
Derek Who? Williams.
Oh, Derek. Uh-huh. You talked to him a lot because he had that one year that was fantastic.
Yeah, so they took him to us a lot, like you said. But Walton was very fun to talk to.
What about Channing? Did you talk to Channing?
We talked to Channing a little bit. He was more on the quiet side with us. I don't know if he was like that with you.
No, he was one of the best quotes. A smart guy, uh-huh. a good guy. He was one of my favorites too. I have a lot of favorites. I don't have many favorites you can have, but I have a lot of them. Because they were all good guys. I started in 91, covering the team, and I met some fantastic
sure,
guys.
91.
Damon Stoudemire, favorite of mine. Luke, Channing, Richard, because they were all good quotes. Gene Edgerson.
Oh, Gene.
And they had that Final Four run in 94. JB, Corey, obviously. Khalid, Reggie, who I had last Friday on the show. So, you know, just a lot of good. It's hardly a bad guy.
No, and their age is pretty neat, because once you work in Major League Baseball or in the NFL or in the NBA, it changes a little bit. Mm-hmm. And at their age, when you talk to them, it's pretty neat, because they're still act like normal people,
right?
Like
yeah.
kids.
Yeah.
And so you have a lot of fun. I'm pretty sure you have the same experience interviewing them and talking to them and asking them questions. So it's pretty neat, because once they turn pro, I think, I don't know if their mindset changes a little
money
bit.
Money does that. I think money does that.
But so it's a lot of fun to talk to them at that age when they're in college.
A lot of them don't. Yes, I agree with you. A lot of them don't change. I know baseball players. When I was a kid and I was in Dallas working for the Dallas Morning News, I went to the baseball field with the Rangers at the time, and I was 23 years old. It's very difficult. Those guys are sometimes not great guys, not accommodating, very difficult to talk to, and it kind of soured me in a lot of different ways because it's difficult to talk to them. And you know, I'm a young guy, 20 something, trying to start out my career, and they know this. And some of them kind of tease you, or they do what they do to intimidate you. And then I moved here, and it was fine. But I get what you're saying. It's not always roses. Sometimes it's tough to talk to the guys.
No, sometimes it's tough. Now, in my position, like with the Astros, it's a lot easier, because they see me every day.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So I get to ask him. I usually go and ask, hey, I want to interview you for my webisode with the camera on and everything for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always ask him ahead of time.
Yeah.
And sometimes they're not ready, and then I send one of my interns to,
yeah,
to go
yeah,
get
yeah.
another one.
Let the dirty work happen somewhere else. I get it.
But with the basketball players, it's a lot of fun talking to them. And Isaiah Fox was also one of my favorites.
He was a fun guy.
Yeah, he was.
He was a fun guy. So any other, not any other players, but fun moments in broadcasting? You were there for the, what was your biggest games?
I broadcasted the 2001 championship season? But I didn't go to that tournament.
Mm-hmm.
We went to the tournament in 2000 to Utah.
That's when they got beat.
When they got beat. So that was, it was fun. I think they won one game. They lost to Wisconsin, if I'm
correct,
not mistaken.
Correct.
And so the other fun one, that the Pac-10 tournaments that we did were pretty fun at the Staples Center.
Yeah, that's when Luke and them got to they were the number one team in the country. It's for some time during that time.
Exactly, and then other times that I just got to travel to the UCLA games. Oh, those were a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Poly Pavilion.
At Poly Pavilion, and I remember one time I had to go get a pass. I think Rich Page left the pass at the hotel, so I had to go ask for it, and then I see Luke walking with all the. The players, they were coming from dinner, I think.
Uh-huh.
And it was like, like an army. So that was pretty cool seeing him there. But we did some games at USC also.
Mm-hmm. Your excitement is very obvious when you do your shows. Do you purposely do that, or is it just kind of because you're still a fan and you get involved?
No, because I get involved. I think that's just the nature of who I am and the nature of, you know, broadcasting the games and I feel blessed doing this kind of job that I do. I did work my regular 9-to-5 jobs at one point in time.
Right. No. And you treat it as a dream job. It's a fun time.
Yeah, it's a fun time. And sometimes I think when I first met you and I started in the business, I wanted to do everything.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to be everywhere. And sometimes you gotta.
You realize you can't do that.
You can't do everything.
Right, right.
So probably that this comes naturally, because you want to be everywhere. You want to interview everybody. You want to, you know, put all the sound bites.
31 flavors is only good when you have a couple of flavors.
Exactly.
Right. You can't mix them all the time. Yeah. I think we're going to go to a break. When we'll talk more about the current state of University of Arizona sports.
It's time for a change in Southern Arizona. Our Legislative District 2 community has been forgotten by the legislators in Phoenix, and it's time to show them the possibilities and the opportunities here in our border communities. I'm an educator, business owner, and a problem solver. I understand our issues. We need to send somebody to Phoenix who will fight for our community. It's time for a change in Southern Arizona, a time for prosperity and hope for the future. Elect me, Shelley Kice, for the Arizona State Senate, and we will work together for our community.
Paid for by Kice for Arizona.
This is Chef Michael Elefante, and I have an idea for your business. Take your client to lunch, at Mama Luisa's, of course. They'll be impressed by our pasta bar, cooked to their preference, right in front of them. Or try our famous Joe special, with hot pepper seeds, garlic and oil, and topped with cheese and baked to perfection. You'll get their business and some great food. Mama Luisa's.
Since 1956, Mama Luisa's has thrilled your palate with great Italian food. And we cater. 2041 South Craycroft, 790-4702.
Sound familiar?
Well, we did the oil change, but we found your blinker fluid was low, your fan belt needed lube, and the air in your tires needed to be rotated. Your total is $650.
Take a deep breath and breathe easy at Breathe Easy Automotive. We explain every service before we work on your car. Our mechanics are on salary, not commission. Check out our website at breatheeasyautomotive.com for more information and specials.
The 2018 holiday season is upon us, and BBB wants to help you shop smart and give wisely. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, reminding you of our Holiday Helper microsite at BBB.org. We have tips for Black Friday, Small Business Saturday, Cyber Monday, and Giving Tuesday. Don't allow scammers to steal your holiday joy. Again, go to BBB.org. Happy holidays from the entire BBB team.
I'm Megan from Tucson Smiles Pediatric Dentistry. Tucson Smiles has three offices that need to communicate with each other throughout the day. Transferring patient phone calls between offices is a breeze now. Simply Bits installed telephone, fax, and internet at our Tucson Smiles offices. They also replaced our outdated telephone equipment, and our internet is a lot faster. As a local practice, it was really important for us to work with a single local vendor for all offices. I loved that they really got to know our business before just presenting a solution that might not work. They didn't just install something that was one size fits all. It was really tailored for our business. Tucson Smiles Pediatric Dentistry would absolutely recommend Simply Bits. Their service is excellent.
High-speed internet, voice, and fax for home or business. Learn more at simplybits.com. Simply Bits.
I'm John C. Scott, and along with Bill Buckmaster, we'll count the votes on election night, Tuesday, November the 6th, from 7 until when it's over.
John, I am looking forward to it. We have so much to cover on election night. Finally, after all the months and in some cases years of talking, the votes will be counted.
Election coverage at its best.
On AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice for trusted local news and talk.
Trusted local news and talk, AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on business.
Hey, welcome back to Eye on the Ball. I'm Steve Rivera. My in-studio guest is Francisco Romero, the Spanish voice of the Houston Astros and the University of Arizona. We're kind of going through his career. I want to switch spots with you for a day, Francisco. Enjoy that ring for a day and then move on. Hey, let's talk about the current state of Arizona athletics. Do you cover more than football and basketball?
Point in time, we broadcasted also women's basketball and softball and baseball during Lopez's years, huh?
Mm-hmm. And you not do that anymore?
No, we don't do that anymore. We're only broadcasting football and basketball.
Right. So you've been here a couple weeks now. You've seen them on TV. Let's talk a little about football for now, and then we'll go to basketball in this next segment. But what do you think? What do you think? They're going to be okay under Sumlin, given that what you know about Sumlin?
I think they're going to be okay. And like everything, you have to, I don't want to get ahead of myself or talk more than what I know, but the reality is that you have to buy into the system, and then and then perform under that system. I think for the last two games that I broadcast, I think they've won. And the looking at it from the press box, the system looks synchronized. I don't know to put it that way.
Mm-hmm. No, I get what you're saying.
But like I said at the beginning of the show, all three elements of the game, if not perfect, they look very good. And more than that, they perform.
Right.
So what is the offense, the difference in the special teams? This last game, it seemed like we're going to have trouble at the beginning, but then the team was able to play good enough to win the game in a great manner.
Realistically, your first game here was the Oregon game. What did you think going in? Because it was your first time this year watching them. You probably, in all honesty, you probably thought they were going to get blown out.
If not blown out, I thought we were going to have a hard time because of the injury of Khalil Tate.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, was he going to start? Was he not going to start? How was he going to perform? How was his injury? Was he going to be able to run? How was he going to throw? He threw more than what he ran, and that looked pretty good. So my state of mind was, we're going to have a hard time against Oregon, especially
right.
We ranked number 19th, and we haven't been a ranked team in a while. But after watching the first series, and scoring right away, and they had, five or six drives that they scored?
Right.
And so I'm like,
and they had a good lead most of the game.
Most of the game they had a good lead. By the end, it was
not even a game.
Not even the fourth quarter. Just it was almost a foregone conclusion that they had already won. But in perspective, watching the whole game, I'm like, wow, this team, these players are, they're following the system and they're doing great things.
Right, right. What anybody that impresses you outside of Khalil Tate?
Taylor. I mean, the
Poindexter.
Poindexter was good. He didn't have as many catches, but Poindexter was good. But the running back,
J.J. Taylor.
J.J. Taylor is just amazing.
Yeah,
and also the special teams we got. I mean, how many touchbacks and
field goals?
The field goals.
The punting was there.
The punting was there. I mean, we had trouble punting in years past.
Right,
and the punting was there. It was like when you don't notice things are going good. It's like,
right, no, that's what I say. You don't notice until you need to notice, because last year the punting was horrible.
Uh-huh.
It's like a goalie. You don't notice the goalie until you don't have one. Because he's the one saving the shots. You don't know you have a bad punter until he starts messing up. And that's what last year was all about. It was not a good situation with the kicking game.
And then our defense came through.
And your defense came through, yeah. Something that you would have hoped that, or not had hoped, but if you're a fan, you hope that they would have showed up earlier in the year, because that was kind of what you expected. But now they're playing out of their mind. Very aggressive, very strong, very physical.
You know what? That's the right word, physical. Watching them on TV at the beginning of the season and watching them in Houston in person,
right.
It was like, wow, we need to be more physical.
Mm-hmm.
And then watching them here the last few games, it's like, wow, this team is physical.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the same team that I watched in Houston.
Right.
And so going into the last two games, you're like, wow, this team can do some damage. And we were talking about still winning the Pac-12 South.
Right.
It's not a thought that shouldn't be there. It's a thought that you have
it's
to
a possibility,
think about it. It's
yeah.
a possibility.
It's a possibility because, well, like we say, two, three, four weeks ago, there's no way you're thinking that. Because now it's just about survival. How are they going to survive and not get down on themselves and all that? All of a sudden, a couple of games, and now you're thinking, hey, we have a chance to do okay.
And the other thing, you've talked to the coach more, the head coach more than I have. And I don't know how he wants to put this. I mean, it's his first year. Coaches have feelings too. I mean, if you were doubted at the beginning of the games, so how are you seeing now? Because he looks pretty good now. I mean,
Sumlin?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
And
people who were not on him before are on him now.
And they should be.
Yeah.
And they should be. And I mean, I think when the players are performing, bottom line is the players have to perform.
Sure.
No matter what.
Sure, no. And that's what we talked about, the attendance earlier. But I think people, too bad there's only two games left. One at Washington State, that's an away game. And then one here at ASU, against ASU, which should be packed. Normally it is. I think it'll be as full as it can be with Arizona fans. And obviously ASU will bring down their fans because they have a lot at stake too. It's funny. What did you think of the hiring of The head coach at ASU.
From the TV booth to the...
Yeah, from the TV booth.
I know, because he's been out for a lot of years.
A long time. Yeah. I like him. I liked him in the booth or on TV because he said some funny things and said some prophetic things. I mean, nice, smart things that you'd want your kids to know. Because it's not all fun and games. The real world is not all fun and games, and he was realistic about that.
And you know, they criticized him. Some people criticized him a lot, and they asked, how can he go from the booth for being sure. away for such a long time? But the reality is, they do it in baseball. They do. Alex Cora came from
sure.
ESPN to sure. the Astros 1 year and then to winning the World Series.
Sure.
I mean, it's nothing that hasn't been done before.
It's a lot of, I think that coaching, obviously you have to know what you're doing and knowing how to, it's a people thing, knowing how to handle people, knowing that they trust you, and convincing them that they can find something within themselves that they don't even know they have.
Sometimes you're a psychologist, you know, you have to, mm-hmm. you have to.
For 25 or 30 people.
And now imagine a whole football team, you know, and the thing is, if you have the talent, sometimes you have to convince the players that they have the talent to do it.
Right.
I mean, I never coached at that level. I coached Little League Baseball. But at the same time, you have to tell the kids, you know, you have to convince them that they can play.
Yeah. Well, first you got to pay attention.
Yeah, pay attention.
And stop picking the grass from the field when you're trying to, you know, bat. But no, you're right. It's a tough sport. It's a tough profession. That's why they get paid a lot of money. But I think he's a pretty good coach. I thought it was strange at the time. I think he's doing fairly well. He's won some big games. I think the jury's still out with him there, and as the jury is out still here.
Yeah, with something. But I'm glad, like, again, going back to being a fan, I'm glad that they've won these last two games, and fans should be very happy, and I think fans should go to the ASU game, and I think they will. Mm-hmm. And just because not only because they're playing good, but because it's against ASU, the guys from the North, you have to go and support U of A.
Right. So after game, we have 1 minute left in this time segment. But after wins and losses, how do you feel going home? Because, like, again, you're kind of a fan, but you're still out of work.
And coming home from the Astros or
after the game, after a loss or a win from the team that you covered?
No, you feel it because you feel part of it. You're mm-hmm. broadcasting, you're transmitting what's going on in the field, and hopefully you get to the people, you get to paint a picture of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And being part of the U of A or the Astros or whoever you're broadcasting for, you kind of feel the pain sometimes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Sometimes long drive home.
but again, you have to feel blessed that you're doing the kind of work you're doing.
Right. Okay, I think we're going to come back to the next break for our final break. Thanks, Francisco.
Heard a lot about Prop 127, but it's really a very simple equation. Prop 127 makes you pay more. Prop 127 imposes California-style mandates, quote, irrespective of cost to consumers. That means higher electric bills for everyone. The typical Arizona family will pay $1,000 more per year. Electric bills for small businesses could double, and seniors living on fixed incomes will be hit especially hard. California tried this, and today electric rates in California are increasing 3 times the national average. We don't want California taxes in Arizona, or California's high cost of living. Why would we want California's skyrocketing electric bills? Visit VoteNoProp127.com and check the facts for yourself. Vote no on Prop 127. Paid for by Arizonans for Affordable Electricity. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
As a mother, you don't want to have to worry about this bill is coming, but then she needs this chemo. That's a decision you shouldn't have to make.
It's a huge burden lifted financially, and so it allows you to give singular focus to your child. I've never known a hospital that takes care of their patients so thoroughly.
That was the first thing I was like, how are we going to do this? When they told us that we didn't have to pay a single bill, I was like, wow. They pretty much have saved us.
It's like the world has been lifted off of your shoulders, and now your focus is supporting this child.
There is not another hospital like St. Jude. The patient care is unmatchable. It saved my life. It saved my daughter's life. It saved our family.
St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. Finding cures, saving children. Learn more at stjude.org.
Wake Up Tucson with Christy Simone.
Hey, it's Chris from Wake Up Tucson. If you missed my interview with Chief Magnus from the city of Tucson, head over to dsimonehq.com. We'll see you tomorrow. It's Candidate Palooza, all candidates all the time. Jonathan Hoffman joins me. We'll also preview the changing of the guard at the Oro Valley Town Council. Wake Up Tucson, 10:30, The Voice. Trusted local news and talk.
Wake Up Tucson, mornings from 6 to 10 on AM 1030 KBOI, The Voice.
Trusted local news and talk, AM 1030 KVOI. We have our eye on entertainment.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. I'm here with Francisco Romero. I'm Steve Rivera. Thanks for you watching or listening to the show, Eye on the Ball, KVOI 1030. You know, one thing I haven't done while I've been here the last 3 days, I haven't given my email out, so if you have any questions, you can just email me, or any suggestions, any song choices, I'll take those. steve.rivera95@gmail.com. steve.rivera95@gmail.com. Hey, if you have good music choices, let me know. I'll try to get them on. This is all the music I picked to start. I'm an old school guy.
They ask me. They always ask us with the Astros and the... On the monthly magazine that they put out, or what walk-up song we would use if right. we were ball players, and then mine was Rapper's Delight.
Rapper's Delight, back in the 79, 78 time. Well, you were probably 2 years.
No,
right?
I was probably, yeah.
It's 15?
No, it was 79, I was 10 years old.
10 years old, yeah. Good song. I'm going to try to get that one on this one, too. Let's go to basketball. Let's transition to basketball. And what you saw last night, you have a pretty good seat there. It's funny because I was there on the floor for 23 years, about 23 years. I like my seats now where you can see things develop and you can see the play start. And down in the front, you get they're right in front of you, and that's well and fine. But it's you don't get to see what the play
no because
is.
You don't see the play, you don't see the schemes, you mm-hmm. don't see sometimes they change defenses or offenses.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And I guess you have a better view of how they change it.
Correct. Right.
So sometimes I'm looking at Sean Miller and then he changes it, but I can't tell from where I'm sitting.
Right.
But then oh, okay, so they're going to.
But you can hear him from there.
I could hear him a little bit. Last year I could hear him a lot.
yeah. Well, it's still early in this year. Right. Yeah, but last year was a difficult, strange year because they had so much talent they couldn't figure out what to do with it.
But yeah, there was a lot of talent, of course.
Yeah, and now it's a lot of new people, a lot of new faces, and where to put them, how to play them. He's going to probably go 9 or 10 deep, maybe. You know, he says that now, but we'll see what happens. What do you like in this group right now?
Look, what I like is the pace and the three-pointers. Mm-hmm. Now, they keep the what did they shoot yesterday?
11 for 25.
11 for 25, you're absolutely right. So if they keep that pace, maybe a little bit more, I think they'll win some games. I don't know if you're going to die or live by the three-point. But this is what I like. They don't have the huge, big guys that they had before.
Right.
But when you put Ryan Luther... I mean, I don't know if I saw a lot of Luther and Ira Lee yesterday at the same time a lot.
Right.
But I like Luther a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think
because why?
Because of his he reminds me of Tolbert maybe.
Oh yeah, you know what? That's a good point. I was trying to figure out. Yeah, that's a good. Yeah.
And so I mean, you get inside in the middle and. Not yeah. a lot of people are going to go around you.
He doesn't play like Tolbert, but he looks like Tolbert.
Exactly.
I agree with you.
He's a little thick. And the other one that I like. I want him to see how he develops, Chase Jeter.
Yeah.
I want to see how he develops.
We talked about this early in the show, but uh-huh. what did you like about him?
What I like about it is his size, but what I would like to see if he can move his feet a little bit more, maybe fake
yeah.
under the basket.
He missed some shots yesterday.
Yeah, if he does that and if he shoots not the three but for mid-distance a little bit better, I think he's going to be a great player.
Yeah.
But I mean, I think he's still very young. We've only seen him one game. For me, just one
right,
game.
Right, right. And he didn't play last year because he was a redshirt from Duke.
And exactly. And now the guards, the guard play of Brendan Williams. I think he's going to be.
Any of those guys that you saw last night remind you of anybody from the past?
I want to say again, Chase Jeter, not quite a Richard Jefferson, not quite the athleticism of him, but I want to see him like a mixture of maybe Richard Jefferson and we talked about him, the center who went to the Phoenix Suns. No.
To the Phoenix Suns. Or
Fry.
Oh, Fry.
Maybe a combination. I don't know if I'm right.
Maybe. Fry looked like that when he was coming into the system. Uh-huh. Very skinny kid. Uh-huh. He developed into a heck of a player.
And of course, Rick Jefferson was another type of athlete. But something along those lines, he reminds me a lot of Fry, but if he can develop a little bit more movement under the basket, and I think he'll turn into a great player. I'm hoping that he is what hoping he gets to be.
So is Sean. You know, when I asked Sean last night about what he saw in Chase and what he hopes to see, two different things. He knew that he didn't play that well last night. Very raw, if that makes any sense. Very raw, kind of. You knew that he hadn't been playing a whole heck of a lot in game situation because he didn't have a great game. And he's still going to find his place. They need him. They need him because he's the big guy, tall guy at least. He's not a big guy. He's a tall guy. And they need that type of presence near the basket.
They need it, and of course Lee has to be has to be there for that presence.
Right. I really like Lee as a kid. I know I'm sure you're aware of what happened to him with the DUI.
Exactly.
All that.
Yeah.
He's going to be suspended here for the next game.
For the first game.
But he's going to have to come on the scene and help out at least 10, 12 minutes a game to fill in some gaps and fill. I like him a lot as a kid. You know, he had made a mistake, and we all documented that. But in talking to him about it, he was fantastic, forthright, very contrite. And I was going to write a column about that. I still might do that. But one of those kids that, you know, when you go to college, in my mind at least, you go to learn, grow up, kind of learn how to do your laundry on your own, cook for yourself, you know, kind of.
It's tough.
It is tough. You know, it is tough because you're away from home.
I went to college and I lived at home here, and it was tough.
you had to grow up, or you have to learn how to grow up, and it's not easy. We all know that because we have to do it. But his circumstances, you know, were not good. But he'll come through this. He'll be fine with it.
And the other thing, yeah, I think he will, and he needs to make that impact on the court.
Sure.
Now, the one that I would like to see develop into a Matt Muehlbeck, Matt Offic type of player is Barcelo.
Yeah.
I don't know if he can play that role.
That's tough. That's going to be tough because I don't know how many minutes he's going to play. Maybe 10, maybe 15, maybe. Because Brendan's going to play a lot. They're going to need Brendan because to score. And then Justin Coleman's going to be at the one doing a lot of what he does, like Cartwright did last year. So we'll see. I think that he'll fill some nice holes, though. He had a couple big shots yesterday.
Uh-huh. And I like the moves. I mean, from three, he steps in, he shoots. So that's what I like to see him. More of a role player in when you need the three or when you need something like that, you know.
Yeah, the spark. The guys that you need to see play better or Jeter, we talked about that. But Smith, he took a lot of shots yesterday. A few. I think it was 0-for-7 or whatever it was. But he absolutely needs to hit some shots.
And Randolph.
And Randolph, yeah. And Randolph also hit some shots yesterday.
And also Acott. I don't know where you see Acott, but I think he's got the ability to be an impact player.
Yeah, and I think he will be. He'll be that sixth man off the bench and do well. He's got that body, that lanky body, athletic body. The good thing, as you mentioned, I think they're going to run more, and which is going to be fun to watch, like you talk about. Have they done that in the past? They would have been a lot better, I think. But you know, he's easing the reins. Sean Miller's easing the reins a little to let him play more, which is a good thing.
Yeah, and you have the players to run.
Yeah, right.
You you have to use that system.
You go with what you got.
Exactly. And so, I don't know. It'll be fun to. I say it'll be fun because we're going to see these players grow.
Right.
We're going to see these players develop. Right. So it'll be fun to measure them from when you're they're freshmen to when they're juniors. I mean, nobody's leaving for the NBA this year.
Uh-huh. Right.
Exactly.
Right.
So that's what makes it even more fun.
Yeah, that's the good thing. You know, in the past, and I've covered this team for a long time, this program for a long time, they didn't go early. They didn't never left early. I think Bibby was one of the early ones, and then they started going after that, you know, Jared Bayless, and then the rest in Sean's time. But you see them grow, mature, become better players. Now it's difficult to coach because if you go after those kids, the downturn is they're going to leave. And as a reporter, as in the role that I play at least, you don't get to you don't get to know these guys because they're here really quick. You have little access, and then they're gone.
Yeah, and sometimes you kind of like, wow, he went through this program.
Right.
And then they're having success in the NBA.
Right.
But, and even the other part is some of them don't make it to the NBA. And they still
Sure.
I think that's pretty hard on them. They're still making a little bit of money and playing pro somewhere else. But right. The ultimate goal is to make it to the NBA.
Sure, their goal. Right.
Their goal, huh?
Right, right. What they have to understand is going to school is a serious thing. You know, I talked to, like you talked to Craig earlier, one of his, not regrets, but one of his advices to himself is to study, to do well in school, because you'll eventually need that down the road.
No, like I said, I was talking about interviewing ball players like Gerrit Cole. He didn't sign with the Yankees as a first rounder, but he went to school.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he left as a junior, but I'm not sure if he finished his degree yet, but he wanted to go to UCLA because it was, you know,
UCLA. Yeah, yeah. No, I know the school thing, you'll never be able to live your 18, 19 year old life again.
Exactly.
And why not enjoy it? Knowing that you have a pretty good future. There's no guarantee, obviously, but there's a good chance that you'll get that money eventually at some point.
Exactly, especially with the players that...
What round did he go in?
I think he went in the first round.
Again?
Again in the first round.
Okay.
The Pirates.
So things worked out well.
It worked out well, exactly.
Yeah, after 2 years.
And he still went to school.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's, you know, you need that school part of growing up. You need it because you're still growing up in college.
Sure. So we have like a minute, a little more than a minute left. Anything else with this basketball team? The depth is good, the fun. You see the speed because you see it right in front of you.
Yes, it's right in front of me. These guys can run. These guys push the ball. And the other thing is they run, they stop, they shoot the three, and it's in.
Yeah.
So it's pretty cool. I think with the combination of the speedsters and Luther and Lee, I think we'll have a lot of fun watching this team.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the most fun for me as a broadcaster is to see them grow and develop.
Right. I think in time, and now with this team, in time, we'll find out early how good they are when they go to Maui. It may not be good. It may not be.
Some growing pains. I mean, it's
sure. So I think, and that's what this team is going to provide. This the fans that have to be patient. Today's story for me was about Sean Miller being patient.
I know. I read that story. You asked him twice.
I asked him twice because you have to ask. You know, you have to ask because this is a totally different team than what he's used to. And I think he's going to enjoy it, though, because it's less headaches, less ego, and more about basketball.
A lot. Yeah, that's what I saw. Everyone.
On the same page. No selfishness or whatever. And that was very apparent last year.
So, I mean, I'm excited to watch this team and to broadcast the games. You can hear us in Spanish on the Arizona Wildcats website.
Yeah, right. Well, you do a good job. I enjoy talking to you. Thanks for joining me here. It was a lot of fun.
Well, thank you, Steve. Thank you very much. And I'll let you wear my World Series ring once in a while.
I'll rent it. Thank you very much. Well, hey, thanks for everybody for day three of the Rivera hostage situation here.
Before you go, Isabella, I wanted a shout out to my daughter, Isabella and Larissa.
Okay, here they go, the family. Well, thanks for joining me. I'll see you tomorrow. I have some pretty good guests tomorrow. I look forward to it.